You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Don't call it. Tie ball game. Worst can happen. We go to overtime. Murray makes a move. There's a run. The Nuggets have won!
Denton, did you stay up and watch it last night or not? I haven't asked you yet.
I did not stay up and watch it, but I did watch it this morning.
Okay. That was one of the best playoff games I have seen in years last night. I was up for all of it. Denver at the buzzer, Jamal Murray from the baseline over Anthony Davis, beating the Lakers after they trailed by 20 in the third quarter. I know we have a lot of draft to talk about, but there were two games last night in the NBA playoffs that were as good as it gets in sports, period, on one night for sure. Good morning. Cooley's going to be on the show in about 20, 25 minutes. You'll hear his film breakdown on Drake May. We played for you last week his film breakdowns on both Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. His film breakdown on May coming up here early in the show. Nikki Javala from the Washington Post will be with us at 11 a.m. and Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus at 11:35. You'll also hear Daniel Jeremiah, his new take on what Washington will do at number two from the NFL Network. And you'll hear Drake May on the show today. No, not as a guest, but he did a podcast yesterday, and he described his visit to Washington last week and the night that they all spent at Topgolf, and how it went for him here last week. We will play that for you. 2.5 days and counting until the NFL draft, and plenty of discussion about the draft today, if you're not worn out at this point. I'm not. I'm ready to go on it, but I'm going to take a few minutes here to talk about games, playoff games, last night in the NBA. Look, when we get to Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we're going to be talking about guys that get drafted that are going to play in the NFL, but 60 to 65% of the people that we talk about on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday won't even be in the league in 3 years. And no more than 2 out of 10 will be major contributors. 2 out of 10 selected will be major contributors. Last night, we had legitimate drama, game drama. The NBA playoffs, I've been telling you guys this for years, it is an incredible product. I know a lot of you don't watch the NBA during the regular season. I don't watch a lot of NBA during the regular season, especially when the Wizards are terrible. I probably watch more of it than many of you do, but the playoffs are a completely different product. And they kicked off over the weekend, not counting the play-in games from last week, with 8 game 1s, 4 on Saturday, 4 on Sunday. And I'll be the first to admit, I watched a lot of it, and a lot of it was snoozer territory. I mean, most of the games were blowouts. The average margin of victory in the 8 games on Saturday and Sunday, 13 points. There was only 1 game out of the 8 that came down to the final possession. But last night, man, it changed. The Knicks and 76ers early in the evening, Madison Square Garden roaring from the start. That is, in team sports, one of the great environments to see a game, a playoff game in Madison Square Garden when the Knicks are good, is as raucous and electric as anything you can attend anywhere. And it was that way last night. They're in a series with Philadelphia. They were up one game to none. And the game last night was back and forth throughout the second half. And then the final 27.1 seconds, insanity. Down by five, the Knicks with the ball. This was the great Mike Breen's call on Madison Square Garden Network.
He picked up by DiVincenzo. 8 on the 24. DiVincenzo, corner to Brunson. Sidestep, three-pointer. Shot. It's good! Took the bounce and went in. Two-point game. Ball knocked loose. And Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein, the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo, a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead.
Two bangs from Mike Breen. Double bang from Breen. In 14 unbelievable frantic seconds, the Knicks went from down five to up one. They blocked a shot. Hartenstein blocked a shot on the other end on Maxey. They went up three after two free throws, and then Joel Embiid missed a three at the buzzer, and the Knicks have a 2-0 series lead with a three-point win, incredible win, reminiscent actually in reverse of what Reggie Miller did to the Knicks back in the 90s when he scored 8 points in like 15 seconds. There was a ton of controversy in this game. What you didn't hear Breen describe, because it wasn't known until sort of after, is that on the inbounds play, after Brunson made a three-pointer, which by the way was his only three of the night, to cut it to two, Kyle Lowry jumps out of bounds. He inbounds it to Maxey, who then fumbles the ball. The ball's on the ground. The Knicks end up getting a steal. But Nick Nurse, the coach of the 76ers, was trying to call timeout. Referee doesn't acknowledge him. Tried to call timeout twice. Tried to call timeout to advance the ball after the three, so they would have the ball in the front court up two. And they didn't see him yelling for the three. And then when Maxey went to the ground fumbling and fighting for the ball, he tried to call a timeout again. He should not have been granted the timeout right there. But that was essentially all the 76ers needed. Josh Harris's team, the Philadelphia 76ers, filing a grievance with the NBA over the officiating not only last night, but in game one as well. Embiid in the locker room after, he's got his head buried in his hands. He predicts the 76ers are now going to win the series. The truth is that Philly's more talented with Embiid healthy, which he's not. And they've been as good, if not better, for the majority of both games against the Knicks, but they haven't been able to close either one of them out. Embiid is hurting, man. He is such a sick talent. Sick talent. But he's hurting. He's still averaging 31-9, despite being maybe 70%. But that game was the appetizer to what came later in the evening. Because Lakers at Nuggets game two was as good a playoff game as I have seen in a few years. Lakers were down 1-0. They had a lead in game one, ended up losing by 11. If you don't know the backdrop to this, the Lakers got swept in the Western Conference Finals last year by the Nuggets, as the Nuggets went on to win their first ever NBA championship, beating Miami in the finals. They've lost, the Lakers have, had lost nine in a row heading into last night, dating back to 2022. But man, were they good last night for three quarters of the game. They took a 20-point lead in the third quarter. Now, 20-point leads get erased a lot in the NBA, especially in the regular season. Maybe not as much in the playoffs, because the intensity and the defensive intensity is there from the beginning. But man, last night, Anthony Davis was sensational for three quarters. He had 32 through three quarters, was unstoppable at times. D'Angelo Russell, who was basically the guy that everybody blamed for the Lakers losing game one, which was ridiculous, but he was 1 for 9 from behind the arc in game one. Last night, he was 7 for 11 on threes, scored 23 points. And then LeBron James, oh my God, 39 years old, the game on the line at the end as the Nuggets just kept cutting into the lead, kept cutting into the lead. They got it to 2 with about 6 minutes to go, and LeBron hits back-to-back bombs. LeBron over the final 6 minutes, 10 points, 2 steals, an amazing performance by LeBron James. He missed a wide-open 3, though, with 16 seconds left in a tie game that gave the Nuggets that final possession where Jamal Murray hit the game winner. Jamal Murray in this game, one of the true underrated players in the NBA. He could not hit the broadside of a barn all night long. And then midway through the fourth quarter, he finally got it going, and he was incredible down the stretch. All mid-range, did not make 1 3-pointer. All getting to the bucket or mid-range jump shots, including the game winner. Nikola Jokic, probably on the verge of winning his third MVP. 27 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists in the game. 27, 20, and 10. He now has, in the postseason, 4 games of at least 25, 20, and 10. Next on the list is Wilt Chamberlain with 2. Jokic has 4 of those games. Chamberlain has 2. Jabbar has 1. Kareem and Wilt combined don't have as many as Jokic has. It is very clear, I think, to basketball people and fans that Nikola Jokic is, he may not go down as the greatest center to ever play the game, although he's only 29. But at this point, it's safe to say that he's probably the most versatile center to ever play the game. In part because, you know, you didn't have centers shooting threes back in the day. You know, Kareem, I don't think, would have been a good three-point shooter. I don't know about Wilt. I don't think Olajuwon would have. I don't think Shaq would have. But there is no doubt that you can put him at the top of the most versatile centers in the history of the game. And he had 27, 20, and 10 in this insane asylum, which was Denver's arena last night as well. Those fans are phenomenal. There was controversy in this game. The Lakers going crazy after the game because of some of the officiating. And the call that everybody, if you watched this last night, D'Angelo Russell got smacked in the head on a drive that he missed. They called the foul on the floor. For some inexplicable reason, Denver challenged the call. Nobody thought when they went to a commercial that they would come back and somehow overturn the call on the floor, because Russell literally got smacked in the head on the shot attempt. They came back and they overturned the call. LeBron after the game was, what are we doing? Why are we going to go to replay in New York? You got that sound from LeBron?
I got that sound for
play
you.
That.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers-Knicks game, too. What are we doing?
I mean, there was so much complaining last night. And that's part of what makes this great is the drama and the complaints and the you know, going back for they'll keep playing games here. It's not one and done. But he was right, man. I have no idea what anybody in that replay center was watching to overturn the foul call. Now, that was not a call that ended up impacting the game. There was a call late. Jamal Murray got to the free throw line for two free throws on a foul call against LeBron that was very, very questionable. But what was great about this game was the comeback didn't happen all at once. They were just inching back, and then LA would, you know, extend the lead a little bit more. And when it got down to two, LeBron just took the game over. He's better than he's ever been as a shooter. I am 100% convinced that LeBron James, at 39 years old, is the best he's ever been as a shooter. When you go back and you look at it, three-point-wise, he had his best season ever from behind the arc, shot 41% from behind the arc. From the field, he was 54%. That's not the best in his career, but it's the best in like 7 years from the floor. Free throw shooting wise, he was 75% this year. You know, LeBron's been an up and down free throw shooter throughout his career. He's an average 73.6% free throw shooter. So this year he was above his average, and he was better than three of the last 5 years from, six of the last 8 years, excuse me, in terms of the percentage that he shot. He has somehow, at 39 years old, and I'm not saying this suspiciously. I'm not, trust me, because LeBron can certainly afford to, you know, have the best of the best in terms of staying in shape and staying fit. But he is, in many ways, more skilled as a player at 39 years old than maybe he was at 29 or 34, 5 years ago. Incredible game last night. The best part of the last, you know, minute and a half or so is that there were no timeouts called. And on that last Jamal Murray buzzer beating game winner, when they got the rebound off LeBron's missed three pointer in a tie game 99-99, Mike Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, wanted to call a timeout, but Jokic looked right at him and waved him off and said, "No, we're going." And over the last minute of the game, there were no timeouts. You know, so often in these NBA games, you get, you know, the last 30 seconds take 20 minutes to play. Not last night. It was breathtaking down the stretch. And Jokic waved Malone off. And it wasn't for him. Now, he set the initial screen, but they got Murray going, and Murray was unbelievable down the stretch and hit the baseline jumper over Anthony Davis to win it. They're up 2-0. People can talk about, you know, some of you sent me some very sarcastic tweets, which is fine, about the suggestion that the Lakers lose that first play-in game on purpose and try to win the second one to get OKC in the first round instead of Denver. I mean, look, I understand these guys are competitors, but you know how many games they load management and they drop on purpose during the regular season? I understand that was a play-in game, but you know, for LeBron and Anthony Davis at this point in their career, the goal should be to win a championship. And the best strategy, team-wise, franchise-wise, to win a championship or to get as deep into the postseason as possible would have been to avoid Denver in the first round, a team they haven't beaten since 2022, and play Oklahoma City, who is the youngest team that's been a one seed in the history of the playoffs. They just don't have the experience. They nearly lost game one at home to the Pelicans, who were playing without Zion Williamson. The Lakers would have beaten OKC in a best-of-seven first-rounder, I think. They've played very well, though, in the first two games. They really have. This is worth watching if you are a sports fan. The NBA playoffs, this series in particular, Knicks 76ers series, pretty great, too. But that game last night was as incredible from a drama standpoint over the final few minutes, actually throughout the night, but the final few minutes were ridiculously good. You get more of it tonight. You get a triple. I think actually tonight you get three games or four games, but you get the Suns at the Timberwolves at 7:30. I mean, Kevin Durant puts together this superstar team. Devin Booker, Bradley Beal. They're down 1-0 to Minnesota. And then you get Pacers, Bucks, and then Mavs, Clippers tonight. The Clippers destroyed Dallas in game one without Kawhi Leonard, and he may not play tonight either as they try to go up 2-0 in that series. The Caps play tonight. Games, people, games. Good games, playoff games. The best that sports has to offer are playoff games, tournament, you know, games in college. By the way, I was looking at the NHL playoffs, which are 3 days old as well. Not one overtime game yet. Not one. Just seems like in the NHL playoffs, you end up with, like, every night at least one overtime game. Not one overtime game yet. Tonight, the Caps at the Rangers, game two, 7 o'clock puck drop. And I think that game is an ESPN game. Does that mean that Joe B. and Locker don't have the game? If it's on ESPN, Denton, do you know?
I believe that's how it goes, though they might make an exception for the postseason.
Yeah, I would prefer to watch Joe B. and Locker on the Monumental Sports Group Network. They are a big underdog again tonight against the Rangers in Game 2. That series comes back to D.C. for Game 3 on Friday night. We will have all the picks Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. All of the picks right here on the Team 980. Draft coverage Thursday night, Friday night, and pretty much all day Saturday. You won't miss a pick if you tune in to the Team 980 Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday. Thursday night is Grant and Danny. Friday night, Denton and yours truly. And then on Saturday, it is Denton and Linnell, right?
Linnell and I are after you on you and I on Friday, and then it's Pete and Medhurst at noon.
That's right.
Saturday and me after that.
Got it. I should probably opened up that memo from CK before I tried to lay out the schedule, but I had the first two nights right. So you will not miss a pick. Tune in to 980. And, yeah, the Rangers-Caps on Friday night going on at the same time. And you can listen to the draft and watch the game simultaneously. I'm sure you'll do that. All right, up next, Cooley will be on. He was on my podcast yesterday. He did a film breakdown of Drake May. He also did one of Caleb Williams. I'm going to play the Drake May portion of it when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ian doesn't want any more film breakdowns. He doesn't want any more draft talk. He doesn't want any more analysis of Jaden Daniels, Drake May, or J.J. McCarthy. He said more playoff talk. I'm with you, brother. The problem is there wouldn't be many out there that would be with us. So we now take a break from the game talk of last night, and it was phenomenal. And for those of you that watched it, you know how great it was. Knicks, 76ers, Nuggets, Lakers, back-to-back. But we are back to what is buttering the bread, as they say, and that is NFL draft talk. We are just over 2 days away from finally getting to the first round of the NFL draft. We got a lot on the show today. You're going to hear Drake May a little bit later on, what he said about Washington's get-together last week at Top Golf. Nikki Jivala is going to join us at 11 a.m. Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus will be on with us. Will be on with us at 11:35. And then yesterday on my podcast, Cooley was on. He had done film breakdowns of Drake May, Caleb Williams, and I carved out the Drake May piece because last week you heard what he thought of Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. And one of the things he said at the end of his film breakdown of Daniels and McCarthy, he said, I'll do Drake May for you next week, and I'll do either Caleb Williams or Michael Penix Jr. He goes, I think I'm really going to like Drake May. So that's where we started yesterday on my pod. Chris, what do you think of Drake May?
So I thought I would love Drake May. And I do like Drake May a lot, and there's probably more intangibles and high-level upside with May than anybody else in the draft. But there's more downside with May than anybody in the draft. Kevin, it's crazy because you're watching this dude who's 22 years old, right? Like, he's a redshirt, played 2 years at North Carolina. It's 2022 season at North Carolina, and they got a ton of talent around him, and he ends up having this excellent season, and he makes a ton of big-time plays. And I don't want to take it away from the 2023 season or what the Tar Heels were, but they weren't the same team. Offensive line, they weren't at all the same. Their receiving group was entirely different. It's almost like the Josh Allen effect to some extent at Wyoming, where he had that phenomenal year, and then his senior year, he comes back to play for Wyoming, and they were dogged around him. It's North Carolina, it's not Wyoming, but he doesn't have the same team. So you're evaluating a guy that doesn't just have opportunities around him in the way he did the year before. The positives for May, he is, in my opinion, of the four quarterbacks, arm talent-wise, ability to do things with his arm, the best quarterback. Like, his ability to change arm angles, to tempo throws, to put a lightning bolt into throws, to get the ball down the field. When it's good, when he's in rhythm, when it's good, it's as good as anybody in the draft. It's better than anybody in the draft. He's awesome. It's Mahomes-ish. And, you know, it's funny because you say this now, and it's like every one of these young quarterbacks should start having this skill set. And it's more and more common. It's not always to stand tall up in the pocket and reach back. And I mean, he can make every single throw, and it's awesome. He's also got a ton of arm strength. And he's a guy that he does not have to sit, plant his feet, drive off his back foot to throw the ball 55, 60 yards downfield. Like, he's drifting into throws, and he's making throws 40, 50 yards downfield on point. So you see that with May, and you're just like, wow. It is a true wow effect when you watch him. Great mobility.
What did you say real quickly? You said every quarterback should be coming out with that skill set. Were you talking about kind of the off-platform or the arm angle?
The terminology for it, but it's like it's a baseball player. It's a shortstop.
Yeah, right. Got it. Yeah,
we're not like every quarterback is not stuff. A center fielder crow hopping into every single throw.
Yeah,
you're a second baseman, you're a shortstop, and you're able to make that throw off your hip. You're able to make that throw off the side of your shoulder. You're able to step back and truly sling it. You make every throw, but we're not, or we're not the pitcher. We're not in a windup for every throw. But it's so much more common, and I think it's so much more common at this point because some of the stuff with Mahomes, some of the stuff with some of the guys that have done it, Aaron Rodgers is another guy, that now high school coaches are looking at their quarterback saying, this is how you have to throw the ball.
Right.
We're going to teach you the mechanics of throwing a football. I still think it's relevant to teach the mechanics of footwork, and I think we'll talk about that with Drake May, because footwork actually changes a lot in the dynamic of the accuracy of a passer and how you get through progressions. But as far as mechanically throwing the ball, if my dude can throw it accurately, I don't care what angle it's coming out at.
Right.
And make him throw it from every angle, man. He really can. He can throw it off platform. He can throw it running to his right. He can throw it drifting anyway. Like it's really, really impressive. He's big. He's big. He's athletic. I think 6'4". He can run, and he can move, and he can roll right, and he can scramble, and he can make big time plays for you, extending plays, and as far as scrambling and getting out of the pocket and making plays. So there's a ton of potential with him there, and I think he's athletic enough that you see even on another level that he's going to be able to void. He'll be elusive. He'll be able to make plays and extend in the NFL. It's not a college kid who is beating up on Pitt. So,
right,
the guy that I think
a game where he had a lot of scramble. He had some big time scrambles in that particular game that you mentioned, and threw kind of a left handed pass, I think, for a touchdown.
Yeah, it was fun. And that was actually a game that he started really slow. He started inaccurate. He started slow. He started struggling some. But he ends up scrambling through late first quarter into the second quarter and starts to find his rhythm almost through scrambling.
Yep.
And then he starts making quite a few more accurate throws at that point. I think he started off completing like 6 or 7 in a row, but then they were easy swing passes and screens and stuff. But he ends up scrambling around, and that gives him some juice. The other thing I didn't mention as far as arm strength or arm is, I think he's got a quick release, Kev. Like, to me, it's in and out. It's not this long, extended, drawn-out release. I think he's got a quick release. He's got the ability to get rid of the ball quick. So that's obviously super helpful.
Right.
But, I don't know. You watch him, and if you were just to put together a highlight film, Drake May, it's amazing. You could put together a really cool highlight film where you're watching this guy go, wow. Problem is you can put together a really, really great low light film with Drake May. And that's, I think, everyone's concern when you read it and you hear everyone say that, this is an inconsistent guy and he makes decisions. And it's because he does. And so for me, when I look at the negatives, start with this. You can't make bad decision a worse decision. Or you can't make a bad play a worse play. And he does that over and over and over again. Like, he's throwing picks that you're just scratching your head going, what are you doing, bro? I think he wants to see guys open. And I don't think if he doesn't see guys open, he's immediately off script or out of the play or out of the pocket. And a lot of times, if he doesn't see guys open early out of the pocket, he's throwing balls up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
And he was picked off a ton. And he had a lot of potential picks that weren't picked because defenders in college have terrible hands. Defenders in the NFL have bad hands. But based on the way you watch it, he's an interception machine in his first year in the NFL. if he's going to make these types of throws and these types of plays. Mm-hmm. I think he processes really average as far as getting from the one read to the two read or understanding how to move a safety to get to the two read. I think it's super average processing speed. Now, it's overcome in a lot of ways with his release and his ability to get the ball out where it looks more on time than I think a lot of times it is. But to me, he wants to see his one read truly open or truly covered before he's moving on to his two read without just understanding, you know, this is here, it's not here. I can make this throw or I can't make this throw. So that is a struggle for him. And honestly, you look at a young kid who probably, and by no means am I suggesting that he shouldn't come out and be the second overall pick in the draft or the third overall pick in the draft, but he would benefit from another year in a college system. It'll take a lot of patience for a coaching staff. They're going to have to build around him. They're going to have to develop around him. They're going to have to start him slow. And he'll make a ton of plays that are not expected plays, but he'll have a ton of misses that are unexpected misses. His footwork is not good. He's jumpy in the pocket. And so instead of, like, if you're taking a three-step drop or even just set step out of gun, he's bouncing. He's bouncing. He's up, down. It's a lot of jumps, a lot of bounces. It's a lot of extra wasted movement, which then I think leads me to the next aspect of this is he's consistently inaccurate. You just put on a game and just watch throws. Boom, 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 boom. Just throws. Over it, and don't look at anything else besides where the ball is. And I'll find balls at feet. I'll find balls over heads. I'll find balls on back hips. Over and over. And it's not necessarily, like, I think he's inaccurate throwing the ball to the middle of the field in a certain range. It's not that. It's inaccuracy everywhere. And then 3 minutes later, he's making this throw that's a laser as far as accuracy. So it's just a consistent inaccuracy. And to me, that ultimately comes from a feet. Never being set, never being ready to throw, and then always wanting to not see his one read and move. Instead of just resetting and planting and pivoting in the pocket, he's got to run, he's got to move. So my problem is not the unbelievable talent that I think this guy possesses, because he does. And there's an incredible upside to Drake May. And I would love to see it because it'd be a lot of fun in the NFL. He could be a great quarterback in the NFL. But it's the ultimate negatives that scare me enough that I see in May. Bad balls, bad decisions, misreads, poor reads, and footwork throughout. When I look at May, I'm like, I would love to have the kid. Like, if you're the third pick and Williams and Daniels go off the board, you're ecstatic. I think there's actually a decision to be made. I think it may be closer with the Michigan quarterback in May. In terms of who goes three. Yeah, J.J. McCarthy in May, who goes 3 and 4. Because some of the negative is unknown potentially with McCarthy. You haven't seen it all. You've seen the good and you've seen the bad with Drake May. I mean, it's out there.
So you mentioned having an issue with the jumpiness in the pocket, the footwork in the pocket. I've noticed that he drifts a lot in the pocket, sometimes into pressure. Why does a quarterback drift in the pocket? Have you seen that, and why does it happen?
I think it's in his inability to process. And so I think instead of being incredibly sure, if I don't have number one where I want him, what's the reason? What's the defensive look? What's the back end? And why is number two open? Or what's the back end and why is number two clearly never going to be open so I can immediately go to three or I can go to check down? I think it's, I don't have this open. I'm not sure why. And because I'm not sure why, I can't really come back to two because I really don't know what the hell's going on there. So I got to run. I got to move. I got to come. It's got to become off script. And then off script, I can find a way to see something open. Right. To me, it's because he needs to see it open instead of knowing where it's going to be open. And that's a huge difference between an elite quarterback and a guy that's getting there. There's no reason, Kevin, to say that this is not something he can be taught. That can be learned, that can be coached. I just don't think it's there right now.
Right.
And that's why when we'll talk about Caleb Williams, but I think that's why everyone's so high on Caleb Williams, is he can do all those things as far as scrambling and moving around, but he's got that certainness about where do I go next with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Drake May has it right now.
Right.
But again, like I said, to me it's something that you can coach. The thing that'll be tougher with him is how to set his feet. Like, we need you to set your feet a little bit better in the pocket. When you're bouncing, I'm not a quarterback, man. When you're back there just hopping, that's when you get inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being able to just drive and throw.
What else on May?
Well, I think the other thing that you do consider with Drake May is when you start looking at what people say about him and what, you know, the conversation of him as a teammate and a leader, is everything comes out incredibly positive.
Right.
His background, everything behind him, his work ethic. And so when you're looking at some of the negatives, you're saying, hey, I'll bet you he's a guy that would sit there in a meeting at the combine and say, hey, look, I know I need to work on my feet. And that, like, we went through this and we worked on this film stuff, and you know, I know it's something I got to work on and I want to work hard on it. So I think when you look at some of the intangibles and all that, when he sits down and talks to teams, I bet he's really likable.
Right. Yeah, apparently so. Off the charts.
And it seems like his teammates love him. His coaches have loved him. You know, when you hear kind of the buzz around the league that the immeasurables are there.
Right. All right.
Which honestly, to finish with me, like, I'm punting on a dude if he doesn't have that.
Right.
Like, I've seen enough. I've learned enough. I've been around enough quarterbacks. I've seen it years based on personality traits, and attitude that you can make it 2 years, you can make it a little bit, like, but it doesn't last with that dude. And that dude has to lead your team.
So that was Chris yesterday on my podcast on Drake May. Considers him to be talent-wise, arm talent-wise, to be the best in the draft in terms of the quarterbacks that he's looked at. Remember, it's an interesting perspective. I mean, I think we all, over the years, understand Chris can watch tape and evaluate tape. But this, you know, evaluation is different than a lot of the others because he really didn't pay attention to anything. He doesn't watch college football. He doesn't follow the draft. He's not really paying attention to all of these evaluations. He is recruiting for a JUCO wrestling program and building a house every day. So getting him to sit down and watch a bunch of tape and a bunch of games on these guys, you're getting the perspective of somebody that really doesn't know much about these guys heading into it. He loves the arm talent, no doubt. He loves the athleticism. But for him, on May, he kind of came to the same conclusion that a lot of people have come to on May, and that is it's going to take some time. If he ever gets there, it will take some time. There are some real, you know, footwork and processing issues that have to be worked on. But like he said, you know, with all of these guys, and this is the stuff we don't know, but we've heard great things about May, and we haven't really, with any one of the four quarterbacks that are going to go in the top four, and even the top six, there really haven't been any red flags. I mean, you may say that an agent liking a couple of tweets last week are red flags, but you didn't hear it from the kid. We don't have any write-ups before this draft about, you know, self-absorbed, not dealing with adversity well. All of the intangibles in terms of what we've heard and read have been pretty solid on all of them. But Cooley's been, for years, as many of you know who've listened, for, you know, 10-plus years, has been like, I'm not, you know, drafting anybody that isn't a good dude that loves ball. And at that position in particular, you have to have that. Interesting stuff on May. His favorite quarterback, and you can go listen to his breakdown of Caleb Williams, and then he ends up with kind of a draft board of the four guys and an order. I'll just tell you that he thinks Jaden Daniels should be the number one pick in the draft. He thinks Chicago should take Jaden Daniels at number one overall. He likes him more than he likes Caleb Williams. When we come back, speaking of Drake May was on a podcast yesterday and talked about his top 30 visit to Topgolf and Washington last week. You'll hear it when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, The Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
NBA playoffs last night, the Cleveland Cavaliers take care of the Orlando Magic to take a 2-0 lead in that series. Philly blows a 5-point lead with 47 seconds left against the Knicks to lose 104-101. The Knicks now lead 2-0 over the 76ers, but Joel Embiid said after the game the 76ers are still going to win the series. Denver beat the Los Angeles Lakers on a buzzer beater from the hands of Jamal Murray. They took a 2-0 series lead. In the NHL, Caps in action tonight for Game 2 against the New York Rangers. Puck drops at 7. You can hear it on 106.7. The Fan. Nats in action against the Dodgers at Nats Park. First pitch at 6:45. You can hear that right here on the Team 980. And that's what's trending.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
So yesterday, Drake May was on a podcast. It was with an Omaha Productions host that he was on with. And he was asked by this gentleman whose name is Kevin Clark, and the podcast is titled This Is Football. He was asked, Drake May was, about the trip to Washington last week, and this is what he said.
How did you view the Commander's Top Golf? That whole thing.
I actually thought it was one of the cooler visits I've been on. I think, you know, we always kind of these different places you go and see, kind of a steak dinner spot, and you know, just you're surrounded with, you know, the head coach and GM and quarterback coaches, and then the Commanders took an approach of all of us being together and seeing how we interact, and I'm getting a chance to swing the golf club a little bit. I enjoyed it, you know, be around the other guys. I got to meet a lot of different guys throughout the process, and a lot of, you know, guys I saw in high school recruiting. I remember Amarius Mims. Yeah. I tried to get him committed to Alabama when I was committed there in high school. Again, full circle. I know JJ well, and seeing Jaden and those guys was, you know, I think it was a really cool experience for me. I think, yeah, you know, we all got our separate time with the coaches when we need to. It's not like we didn't do any of that. But Topgolf was just a way for us to get out and do something fun the evening before. So,
were you the best golfer there?
I like to say I was. I think I had the best swing, so I think I was hitting it pretty good. So, but JJ McCarthy was hitting it well as well.
Yeah, okay, good.
Paul was hitting it well. The Iowa tight end, he was hitting it pretty good. So,
but you thought it was a good, different experience to kind of meet the guys.
Yeah, it changed it up. I thought it was pretty sweet.
There you go. Good experience for Drake May. Nothing but positive from him. Apparently, he is an excellent golfer. I think his high school coach told us about what a good golfer he was. And it sounds like J.J. McCarthy's got a great golf swing, too. Maybe, just maybe, Jaden Daniels was a little bit uncomfortable and felt awkward because he's never swung a golf club before. Maybe that led to the agent's frustration. Who knows? Just wondering out loud. I have no idea. But look, that those top 30 visits and what came out of it, I don't know that any of us can speak to whether or not the team learned anything significant, whether minds were changed at all, whether it was a true test of leadership and character. And if it was, and somebody, you know, dropped back a little bit because of it, is it dropping back enough to, you know, to essentially make up for the difference in talent or grade? We'll see. I still think as we sit here now, what, 48, you know, 57 hours away, I still think it's going to be Jaden Daniels, number two to Washington. Let's see what Nikki Javala from the Washington Post thinks. She will be our guest next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.